So Maria is going to talk about Android.
First of all, I just want to say I haven't converted. I'm still a big iPhone user, totally. But I thought that there has been a lot of talk about Android is now accessible with TalkBack. Recently, there was someone who had an Android and was totally blind. And he said, well, I have an Android, and I don't want to switch to an iPhone. I want to learn TalkBack. And then I remembered that I have an Android phone, and I learned TalkBack myself a little bit. It's really a basic demonstration that I'm doing. And if you ask questions, the answer will probably be, I don't know. My phone is a Nexus 4. They are now up to Nexus 7. This is a Google phone. And one thing I need to say about Android is, of course, that what I'm saying here and what I'm showing you here may not be true for other Android phones, because there's Samsung and they have their Galaxies, and there are, you know, very low-end phones, and there's all kinds of Android phones. Android is open source, unlike Apple, which means that if somebody wants to make an Android phone, they can just get the source and change it all around and just create something a little different. But if it is an Android phone, I think they all should have something called TalkBack. And that is kind of sort of like the voiceover that we know in the iDevices. I have a Nexus 4, which I would think is about an iPhone 5 or something like this in terms of how old it is. I got this, I tried TalkBack a couple of times, and then I didn't do anything with it, and I had to learn it all over when I tried it again a year later. And so finally, when the student really wanted to learn TalkBack, I did a little more on it, and I did maybe use it for a week with certain apps that I have. I just want to give you a basic demonstration of TalkBack and how it works.
Volume set to 85%.
So this is TalkBack, and it's my lock screen.
Unlock button.
And it was notifications that I had there. And I'm doing the unlock button with a double tap.
Device unlocked.
First of all, the Android phones don't have a home button. So you just have to find it, but it's very near to the, you know, where the home button on the iPhone would be. So
home button.
And the other thing is I can just do an explore screen like I would do on the iPhone. So I take one finger and move around, and then I just get the
settings. Pandora. Tune in radio. Blind bar games. Cam find. Bard mobile.
And you hear these sounds. I could take them off if I wanted to.
In general terms, are the gestures pretty much the same as with an iPhone?
You have to swipe right and swipe left. They're the same, so I can do that.
Pandora. Sleep timer.
You're just doing a right flick, left flick thing.
Right flick,
tap to select.
And left
tap and hold a long press.
And left flick. Also, the double tap works the same way. So if I want to open something or select something or do something like that, I double tap. That's the same. Also, I can explore. Instead of the flick right or flick left, I often just use one of my fingers and just move around. So
14, 15.
Do you know what version of Android you're using?
I'm using the Lollipop, which is 5. I think Marshmallow just came out. That's the 6. And yeah, there's a lot of candy in there. If you buy a cheap version, you may just be able to update till KitKat or Lollipop or something like that. So when the new upgrades come, the new operating systems come, your phone may not be able to upgrade to that.
How much do the Android phones cost compared to, say, an iPhone?
This one was $300 when I got it, but you can get much cheaper. So this one is, I would say, more of the high-end ones, was when I bought it 2.5 years ago. But you could buy some for maybe $30 or, you know, something like
sleep
that.
Sleep timer. Double tap to select. Double tap and hold the long
press. And what does that mean, double tap and hold a long press?
Camera. Settings.
Okay, I'm already in settings. That's a good thing. because that's where I want to go anyway.
Oh, the double tap and hold to long press?
The double tap and hold to long press is, it's like the double tap and hold in the iPhone. So if you want to move things around.
Ah, okay.
And you can also sometimes do other things with it. So I think we entered settings. Before we go into settings, I just want to give you a little more.
Double tap to select.
So there is a back button here.
Back button. Home.
And that moves me to the home screen. Now for the scrolling, they use the two fingers instead of the three fingers. The scrolling is a little smoother because on the iPhone you have to kind of flick, right, with three fingers. Here you can just do it very gently. So
showing item 3 of 5. Home screen 5 of 5.
So I flick left. So now, or scroll
left.
Hey,
radio. Play Store. Home. Politico. Home screen 2 of 5.
And I go back to my home screen 3.
Home screen 3.
Which
home
was
screen 3 of 5.
For some reason, is the default screen. I don't know why that is. It's possible that if you buy something other than a Nexus, your screen might look very different, but what I have here is kind of a grid, although in the middle of the grid is a big clock. So the clock basically takes up 4 of these squares in the grid. Below that is kind of a dock, which they don't call dock, but it acts like a dock. And what I have there is
apps, Chrome, camera.
So that's just, I could move things there like I could into the dock. And these apps would show up in all the pages as you go through them.
Now, Maria, how well does Google Chrome work on the Android phone? On the phone, yeah, on the web,
well,
on the phone.
That is something that I really don't like because it doesn't have the web accessibility that, let's say, Safari has. You can't go to headings or links or things like that. And I've been told that Firefox is better as far as that is concerned. Chrome is faster, but Firefox has more web accessibility. So you can go to headings and links and form fields.
Yeah.
And things like that.
Does it have a rotor like the iPhone?
No. The Android phones should have TalkBack, and this is how you get into it. So if you have a sighted person, they would have to do this, of course, first. So you go to Settings.
Settings.
Double tap. And then you scroll pretty much to the end. So with two fingers.
Accessibility.
Oh, I got there. So this is accessibility.
Accessibility. Showing items 1 to 9 of 17. TalkBack on.
So TalkBack is on. I go into TalkBack.
TalkBack, showing item 1 of 1.
And TalkBack has
settings.
Its own settings. So I'm going into these settings.
TalkBack settings, showing items 1 to 8 of 31.
A lot of them are just, you know, what you expect. So I'm flicking through here a little bit.
Use pitch changes. Don't change voice pitch when speaking. Not keyboard echo. Always speak when screen is off. Nope. Use Proxit, shake to start, speak phonetic letters, check. TalkBack, speech.
As far as speech is concerned, you can have different voices here. So that's what Android people like. For instance, you could install the Eloquence voice for $20. It works very well, which I don't have, right?
Use pitch changes, don't keyboard echo, speak. Shake to start continuous reading, like.
You can shake and it will read continuously. So that's one thing you can do.
Speak phonetic letters, double tap, TalkBack settings.
One thing that I noticed is that when I flick to the right or to the left, when the screen is done, then if you do this on the iPhone, it automatically would flick to the next screen. Here, I have to scroll up. Either that or I'm not doing it right.
There is a setting in there with respect to your home screens that, you know, continue and repeat. It'll continuously go, like, in a loop.
Okay.
You've got to make the setting.
I just have to do that then. Yep.
Is there a way to set this up as a blind person so that you can easily turn TalkBack on and off, like with the home key on the iPhone?
It isn't as easy, but you can have a setting where you suspend the TalkBack, and then the talkback is suspended for a while, but it comes back on once the screen is locked.
So that's kind of a little more difficult.
There's also, you can darken your screen. That's also a little more complicated. You have to do it through settings. There is no
gesture
for it. So far, this is pretty much like the iPhone, right? But there, it stops. So now...
Talkback suspended, resume shortcut, long press, volume up and down key.
It sounded like it's... it sounded like it said long pressing the up and down volume would set the suspended...
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Now, I'm going to explain what the other gestures are. And these are the ones that I don't like. In addition to these left flick, right flick, up flick, and down flick, there are others. And these are kind of L-shaped, so you can go up and right in one swoop. So up and right, and you get the...
Navigate up button. Double tap to select.
These L-shaped key gestures, you can assign actions to them. They are preset. There's a default setting for them. But if you don't like something the way it is, you can assign another action to them, to these. And you can also do that with the right flick. If you don't like the right flick the way it is, you can assign another action of the actions that they give to the right flick or to the left flick or to up and down. And by default, right and up do the same, and left and down to the same. So I would probably change that, you know, if I was using this for a while. I don't find the L-shaped gestures very easy to use. Half of the time I go wrong with them, but that could be the phone. But I have read in blogs that people don't like them, they are clunky, and you don't have a rotor. But you have something called granularity of reading. So if you turn that on, you can read by letters, read by word, by page and section and different kinds of things. So you can do that with an L-shaped gesture or with another gesture. They also introduced one that is a tap on the side. You can tap once or you can tap twice on the side of the phone. Doesn't matter what side. And you can set that too to something where the volume buttons are. There's also something, a proximity sensor. You can use that. I didn't particularly like it, I guess because I'm not used to it. If you come close to the screen, it will somehow do something. Maybe I have that on by accident. Maybe that's why it isn't working quite the way it's supposed to. Let me just talk a little bit about my experience. So I had this maybe for a week. I was using the iPhone for my audio apps, so like TuneIn Radio, Bard Mobile, Pandora, and things like that. That's pretty okay. I kind of could get used to that. One thing is definitely missing, and that's the two-finger double tap for play and pause. So when something is playing, like this morning, I got into Pandora by accident. It started playing music, even though I hadn't done anything. So, and I couldn't really turn the music off, and I couldn't find the player, just because I'm not very familiar with Pandora at this point. So I had to actually, what you would call in iDevices, the app switcher and get rid of it. But normally what you would do is, let's say if I'm in the Bard Mobile, I would just go to the play button and pause button or stop button. Double tap is definitely missing with two fingers. You know, the audio devices, I could live with that. Where I really had a problem was the web. And again, I haven't tried Firefox. So you need to try Firefox if that might work better. But I've also heard that the web is really kind of not smooth and clunky from other people. There's something called web view that gets turned on and that regulates all this web stuff better, but I'm much happier doing Safari or email or anything like that on the iPhone. I have no experience with calling and texting and things like that, but as far as I know from others, that works pretty well. People are happy with that.
Does it have dictate?
It has dictate. That also works very well. You can do a voice search from the home screen. All of those things work.
Supposedly with Android phones, you can plug the phone right into your computer and it shows up as a disk drive.
Yeah, you could.
So it's very easy to copy stuff. You don't have to worry about iTunes and all that business.
That's true. And that's why some people like Android phones.
But the iPhone also, you can plug it into a computer now and see its storage area. You can store data in the iPhone just as though it were a USB thumb drive.
What's really missing, in my opinion, is something like the rotor. Because for me, for instance, I like to switch languages sometimes. There's no easy way to do that. But even if you don't want to do that, there's just so many things you can do with the rotor that are not here. Maybe I can show you what actions are available.
Navigate to previous item, Alt plus Shift plus keycode DPA.
Oh, this is short keyboard shortcuts if you use a keyboard like a...
Manage gestures.
That's the one I wanted to show you. Manage gestures.
Showing items 1 to 8 of 21.
So here are all the gestures. So let's do one.
Swipe up, then down. Focus first item on screen.
So that's another one. Swipe up and down, just in one movement.
Swipe down, then up. Focus last item on screen. Swipe up, then down. Focus first item on screen. Swipe left, then right. Scroll back.
When it says swipe down,
swipe
then
right
up,
then
what does that
forward.
Mean?
You go down first and then up, but in one...
Sort of like the back command on the iPhone,
navigate
except
up
sideways.
Button.
I'm just doing the up and down, and it goes to the top of the screen. But again, I just want to show you what you could actually assign, what kinds of actions.
Swipe up, then right. Open local context menu.
So that's one of these L shapes, swipe up and right. And it brings up, right now it brings up the context menu. So this is...
Swipe right, then left. Scroll back. Alert local context menu. Showing items 1 to 6 of 6.
I had to do it a number of times. And here's a context menu.
Local context menu. Default. Characters. Words. Lines.
So this is the granularity.
Paragraphs. Pages.
And I'm going out of this.
How do you leave
cancel
that?
Button.
Cancel. Oh. It has a cancel button. And that happens to me a lot. I don't know whether it's me or if because I'm so used to the iPhone and use that all the time. But I have to often do some of these gestures several times before they work. Back.
I have found that with the Android phones, if you're starting a gesture and you start from off the screen and then you go onto the screen, they tend to work better.
Swipe down, then right, unassigned.
So that's unassigned here. Swipe down, then right.
Alert, swipe down, then right.
And now,
items 1 to 9 of 17.
Now I have 17 things that I could assign to this. So.
Check, unassigned. Not checked, previous item. Not checked, next, not checked, focus first item. Not checked, focus last item on screen. Not checked, scroll back. Not checked, scroll forward. Not checked, previous navigation setting. Not checked, next navigation setting. Wi-Fi net. Not checked, back button. Not checked, home button. Not checked, overview button. Not checked, open notifications. Not checked, open global context menu. Not checked, open local context menu. Not checked, read from top. Not checked, read from next item. Swipe right then up.
So let me try
swipe
this.
Swipe right then down, open notifications.
So right and down. It doesn't do it. So.
But
there it is. Okay. So again, I find them hard to do, but I got into this time. I just want to talk a little bit who would want to buy Androids. First of all, there are people who have kind of really a low budget, and they get sometimes Android phones with their service. So like, if you sign up for this, you get an Android phone. And it's probably kind of a low-level one, often, with a low-cost plan, an affordable plan. On the other hand, if you just want to use this as your phone and as your texting device and for your audio apps and things like that, why not? And then the other people who use Androids, who like to use Androids, I mean blind people who like to use Androids, are really techies, who kind of, you can do this and you can do that, because it isn't just TalkBack, there are other screen readers that they could use. You could do things that people like to do when they jailbreak their iPhones. You can look at the folder structure of your iPhone. You can change things in VoiceOver when you jailbreak that. And that's what you've been, what people like to do with the Android phones. And then I've also met people who say, I like the Android because you are so flexible, but then they could never show me where the flexibility is. It has come a long way in terms of how accessible it was, let's say, 4 years ago.
The Android for blind folks and people with, you know, a lot of vision loss that really like them, that are techies, they're tinkerers. I think the real question is, do you want to be a tinkerer in your life, or do you want to eventually live your life?
The main reason why I wouldn't want to switch over to an Android is the web, definitely the web, because that is so not smooth. There are so many interruptions and stuff, and sometimes it doesn't say anything. And so I just have to try Firefox and see how that works. Jailbreak is just a term that Apple uses where you do a procedure on your iPhone. You can now do all kinds of strange things and tinker with it, but then Apple won't guarantee it any longer.
I mean, the general rule of thumb is if you got a jailbreak, don't count on your VoiceOver working, don't count on your Zoom working.
Right. You can probably get it back if you back it up from a computer. At the Carol Center, when we have the kids, they do things like that. And our member here, Lou, who created...
The GPS app, yeah.
A GPS app called Get There, that I also have installed. And what I could do with that now, since I don't have a data plan, let's say I go to Germany, no, even like here, I don't have a data plan. So I could, like here in Cambridge, if I open it and I download the map of Massachusetts, I can now use a GPS, a free GPS.
And you did that with a $20 phone.
Android has something called Nearby Explorer. That's their big GPS app. I haven't tried it out, but it costs $90 or $99 if you want the downloadable maps. But there's now a free version that lets you use all kinds of its functionality, but you cannot use it without a data plan outside.
Right. What about the store for downloading apps on the
that
Android?
That is pretty easy to use. It's called the Play Store. You just do the same thing. You search, you go into a search, and then you put whatever you're looking for. And you may have to agree a few more times than you have to do with Apple. But I've only downloaded free stuff. So one thing that is missing that I couldn't find is the NFB newsline. And I think that is because of this whole issue with reading, listening to text. I don't know, it doesn't use the web, but...
Yeah, I actually asked Gina about it a few weeks ago for the same student, and she said, they don't have it and they don't have any plans to have it anytime soon.
Yeah, and
for
it's kind
Android.
Of interesting why they... I believe that it is just, if you want to read something on the Androids, it's just clunky. It's not a joyful experience. You know, they have the Bard Mobile. That works pretty well. Now, I think they have the KNFB Reader, which I don't want to buy, of course. Huh. It works if you have a good camera, I think. If it depends very much on the camera, yeah. I would think.
Does it have a back-end front camera, like an iPhone?
Yes, but I've used things like CamFind, and that works pretty well with my phone.
I know with my kids have always had Android phones because they're cheaper.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have a lot of neat apps, a lot of which are not accessible, but I think Android's here to stay.
There are a lot of people who would say, okay, well, if I want to go on the web, I just go to my computer. Or if I want to listen to a book, I go to my Victor Stream. And if you're one of those, then an Android phone would be something to try out. If your family members or your friend have Androids, or even if they throw them away, you might just want to try it out.
Does it have the touch typing mode like the iPhone does?
Yes. And I don't know if it has the standard typing mode, because it was touch typing by default. Yeah, so it does that.
Oh, yeah. Have you done experimenting with Braille?
No.
Last time I looked into it, it was pretty limited. Not good.
If you want to read, there's a webpage that's sort of like AppleBiz. It's called accessibleandroid.com. There you can give reviews and talk about things. And they did a survey of people who use TalkBack. 35% was, we want TalkBack to be open source again. It is, at this point, probably not open source, but they want to have it open source so that other companies or themselves, they themselves, can experiment with doing things with TalkBack. I have the operating system 5, or Lollipop, and I don't know whether I get 6, which is Marshmallows, which has just come out. I don't
know
if...
Those are free upgrades?
Pardon?
Those are free upgrades.
Yeah, these are free upgrades.
As long as your hardware will support it.
But I don't know whether I will get them. Here's the difference between the Apple operating system and this Android operating system, is that even if you can't get the latest operating system, you can still probably get the latest TalkBack. TalkBack sometimes, you know, just gets updated even if there's no new operating system. I think with iDevices, that always happens at the same time. So you get a new voiceover when you get a new operating system. But here, the TalkBack is not connected so much to a new operating system. So you can always still get new TalkBack updates.
Thank you very much, Maria. That was great.